Hey, welcome to the Faith NFM podcast. We appreciate your time today, and we encourage you to head on over to faithnfm.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links to all that's happening around Faith Assembly. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and through 7, we're going to be picking up our text. We've been here for a while now. This is our last day of our series, Calm in the Chaos, and we need a little encouragement, and Paul is able to give us some encouragement. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. We talked about this last week. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Turn to your neighbor and say, do not be anxious about anything. Come on, say it like you mean it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, transcends above all human reasoning, transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but it's important to understand where Paul is writing this from. Paul is in jail, doesn't know what's going to take place in his life. Paul is who the Holy Spirit used to give a word of encouragement to the church of Philippi. Paul doesn't know what tomorrow brings, but he knows who holds tomorrow. He doesn't know if his life is going to be executed or if he is going to be released. And he gives this bold declaration, do not be anxious, praise God, his peace will transcend all understanding. So we've been in this series, Calm in the Chaos. We've been talking about anxieties in life. How many of us know that a lot of anxiety hits us in different ways and shapes in life? And May was Mental Health Awareness Month. I'm not going to mention what June is, if you know what I'm saying. But we're continuing this conversation because we need to talk about how God can help us navigate some of the stresses, some of the fears, some of the worrisomes that we have in life. Today, as we close out the series, I want to talk to you about the anxieties that come from decision-making. The anxieties that come from decision-making. Do I have anybody in this place that at one point or another, you've have struggled to make a decision? Some of you lose some sleep because you can't make a decision. One of the worst things that ever has happened to me and where I stress out on the way to the restaurant when I go to Firehouse Subs, it's this one particular restaurant. They have that big red Coca-Cola machine. You guys know what I'm talking about? They got the touch screen. They got 1,000 different options of what kind of soda you can drink. You click on Powerade, it's like you got orange, you got blueberry, you got raspberry, you got mixed berry, you got lemon. And then you click over to Sprite, and you're like, what kind? And you're just trying to get a simple soda out of the machine. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're like, why do I have such anxiety making a decision about some kind of soda? But that's soda. How many of us have ever really, like, kind of stressed about some serious things in life where, like, a decision has to be made, and you just don't really know what to do? How do I navigate this relationship? How do I talk to this person? How do I handle this kind of work situation? Today, I titled my message, Just Decide. Just Decide. And I want to encourage you, we're going to look at some spiritual principles on why decisions and how to navigate decisions in this day and age and simplify things a little bit from looking at spiritual practices. But here are why decisions are so hard to make. Making decisions can be stressful because we don't want to make the wrong choice. Making decisions can be stressful because we don't want to make the wrong choice. Wrong choices for us. Hey, do I go to private school when I graduate? Do I go to the private Christian college? Do I go to the state university? Or do I take a gap year? Do I go to JUCO? Maybe some of the decisions that you're making right now is like, hey, do I sell my house? Do I rent? Do I keep investing in my old car? Do I buy a new car and take over the payments? Do I marry? Do I hang out with Mr. No Commit? Or do I kind of start looking at other options? Or if that person doesn't have all of the checklist, do I settle and say, hey, you know, it's baby making time where like my clock is ticking. I just got to settle with that person. Like some of the decisions that we make are weighted on us. What do I do with my kids? Do I get them involved in sports all year round? If they quit the team, will they have a place on the team next season? And it's go, go, go. Do I get involved? Do I take my kid to this school? Do I get involved? Do I let my daughter join dance? Have you seen some of those dances in little kids now, right? TikTok all day. Decisions, and we get so fearful of what kind of decisions that we're going to make. There's stress, there's anxiety when it comes to it. We live in the most anxious days of ever recorded in generation. It's known as an age of anxiety. I know for myself, some of the biggest things that I've wrestled with when it comes to making decisions is actually what I'm going to preach about. I go up to, I pray, I have this morning ritual where I get up and I just, hey, God, I need you to speak in my life. I need you to work in my life. And God always kind of works in my life when he says, hey, here's kind of a topic. And let's take instance, the topic of faith. Well, you know, the Bible says a lot about the topic of faith. So it's like, what do you want me to say about the topic of faith? God, I need you a little more clear. Like maybe if you could just print out the manuscript, you know, like maybe if you could be my ChatGPT, you know, like God, really help me in this. And there's times, I've been speaking for years. There's times when I look at my screen and I just see the cursor blinking. I'm like, what do I say? What do I decide to do? I had this aha moment. One time, I was asked to speak over a specific topic, and I was doing our normal routine, and my wife goes, man, Blake, like, you come home at the end of the day. I'm like, yeah, I already got that message done. She's like, you really wrote that message really quick. Like, she's like, God must have really been with you today. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know. But the person gave me the topic to speak on, and it was easy. It was like an aha moment. Whenever we have a lot of decisions, it becomes challenging. Whenever we have just one lock-in, one moment to be aha, something's presented, it's a lot easier to navigate. So we live in this day and age where we're anxious about making decisions, the most anxious generation. And why we become anxious? Let me just give you two real quick reasons. The first one is this. We have simply too many choices. Too many choices. Have you ever spent some time scrolling Netflix, Amazon, and you're like, dude, what am I going to watch today? And then you actually take a flight, and there's only like three movie options that you can watch. You watch all three movies. It's simple. They say this, on average, that kids make 3,000 to 5,000 choices a day. Researchers call this the paradox of decision making, that we think in our humanity, the more decisions, options we have, the easier it will be to make decisions. But it's actually stifled people, stifled our ability to make decisions. We see adults where we really struggle with, we make upwards of close to 35,000 decisions a day. Am I going to wear that? Am I going to eat this? Am I going to cheat this diet? And it is overwhelming. And so we wonder why we deal with anxiety when it comes to decision making. Where to live, what to eat, how to navigate these relationships, who to date, who to call, where to work, where to live. Do I retire here? Do I not retire here? So many different options. Another option for why we struggle making decisions is this. We're afraid to make a costly decision. We're afraid to make a costly decision. Is this God's will for my life? Have you ever asked yourself that question? We're afraid of missing out, making a wrong choice, struggling, stumbling, and being like, God, I made the wrong choice. Was I not in tune with you? I'll never forget the week leading up to our marriage. I was being married to Brittany, but I was deathly afraid of like, man, making that commitment. Like, I grew up in a home. My parents are coming up on 50 years of marriage. It's a testament. Her parents have been married for numerous amount of years. And I was like, man, if I marry Brittany, like, I better be like right, dialed in. And I'm stressing leading up to that day being married. Like leading up, like some of you are probably thinking there, like, why were you stressing? She's the one marrying you. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, totally understand. But I remember I'm praying and I'm like, God, I don't want to make the wrong decision. God, I'm scared. God, I'm nervous. God, I'm anxious. I'm getting married. And I don't know. I think this can't be. And it was like God spoke to me audibly. He's like, Blake, like, we met in Las Vegas. You know how hard it is to find a Christian woman who loves Jesus in the city of Las Vegas? Hard. God knew that I was too stupid to figure it out for myself with options. And he honed in and presented the perfect spouse for me. And I say that because at times we make all these questions in our lives, in our worlds, and we struggle and we say, hey, am I going to make this wrong choice? And so we struggle, we get anxious, we get overwhelmed, we hesitate, we stall, we become indecisive. And indecision is actually a decision. So it's complicated. So today I want to spend the remainder of our time talking about two simple spiritual principles to help you, to help myself, that I constantly remember and in routine live out to help us make decisions. So Philippians chapter 4, Paul is in jail and he's saying, don't be anxious about anything. And we are going to slide into Acts chapter 15. Now let me give you a little text background of where we're at in Acts chapter 15. We see that Paul, Barnabas, they conclude their first missionary journey. And then Acts 15, they're hanging out in Antioch of Syria. They're in this region, in this city, and they're ministering. And there's some other preachers that come in, and they want to add to the gospel. They want to say that, hey, if you really want to be a follower of Jesus, you got to get circumcised. So Paul and Barnabas are like, woo! I don't know about that. Like, let's pause. Like, fellas, like, I want you to understand, you know how hard it is to get guys to come up and pray, come to the altar? Can you imagine if I got up here and said, hey, fellas, if you want to follow Jesus, go get the flint rock. Like, come on. So they're having this debate back and forth. This is what the early church is hashing out. Paul and Barnabas are saying, nope, not at all. You don't have to do that. They're adding something to the gospel when really Jesus is the key. And so they're going back and forth, but what's happened throughout the church is that in the early Christian, it was highly Jewish. And the Jewish culture, what separates Christianity from Judaism, is simply that the Judaism doesn't believe that Jesus is the king, reigning, Lord, leader, Messiah, that Jesus wasn't the Son of God. And so we see this divide. Both serve Yahweh, but when Jesus came, kind of the differentiation factor. And so we see that this is taking place, that some people who are coming and wanting to believe in Jesus, commit his life to Jesus, their lives to Jesus, are saying we got to take some of our history, our tradition, and add it to the gospel. And I think a lot of us in this day and age, we like to do that. We like to say, I got to take my history, I got to take my tradition, and I need to add it to the gospel. This is what healthy church is. This is how healthy spirituality is. And my friends, I want to be crystal clear. When you come and you commit your life to Jesus, claiming that he is the Lord, leader, that he died for your sins, that God raised him from the grave, that now he is ascended at the right hand of God. My friends, you are saved. It's not a bunch of additives to that. And because of his saving grace in our lives, we want to live for Jesus. We want to honor Jesus. We want to say, Jesus, I want to serve you. And so we see this in Acts 15. We see this divide taking place. And so Paul and Barnabas, they are sent from this region or Antioch of Syria, and they're sent to Jerusalem to go meet with some of the head honchos of the church, a man by the name of Peter, James, the elders, the apostles, the leaders of the church. And so they're there, and they're kind of filling them in, and that church, in that meeting, the Jerusalem council, they make the decision that, no, it's Jesus only. And then they come back and they write this letter and they make these declarations. And this is where we see and pick up the story, because this is what they say when it comes to decision. We're looking at some insight. So in Acts 15, 22, then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church, including, that means everybody, to choose men from among them and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and then Silas, leading men among the brothers. We scroll down, then they commissioned this letter in Acts 15, 25. It had seemed good to us, having come in one accord, to choose men and send them to you with beloved Barnabas and Paul. And as the letter continues in Acts 15:28, for it seemed good to us, to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. So in other words, Jerusalem Council convenes. They discuss this matter of circumcision. Peter speaks. James affirms them. James speaks. And then they say, Paul, Barnabas, we're going to send you back to Syria of Antioch. We want you to deliver this message. So the question that we have to ask, how could Peter, Paul, James, and Barnabas, other church leaders, be comfortable with such weighted decisions? I know for us, looking back, we're like, hey, they're just talking about this circumcision issue. It doesn't really seem like it's a high priority thing. But for this church, this region, this culture, it was big time because it was the Abraham covenant. So how could Peter, James, Barnabas, other church elders make that direction, make that decision with eternity at stake? And how could it seem right? So I want to give you two key principles, how they were able to confirm and affirm the decision that was made, and how to develop a peace of mind when we make decisions. First one is, one, it includes godly people in the decision. If you're struggling with decision-making, include godly people in that decision. That's exactly what happens. That's exactly what takes place, that godly people are a part of this big task. Look, godly people are going to point and have the same perspective. Ungodly people or worldly people do what seems right, says do what feels good, do what is popular, do what makes you happy. Ungodly people go off feelings. Godly people are saying, hey, what is the matter of fact? What is Scripture saying? What is being delivered? Godly people have a different perspective of things. Godly people have a perspective that incorporates Jesus in the decision. If you're struggling with decisions, some of the people that you should be leaning in the most are people who have a relationship with Jesus over all matters of your life. If you're struggling to hey, where do I go here? How do I figure this out? My family, my marriage, my kids, navigating that. The greatest influences in your life shouldn't be people who don't have a relationship with Jesus. And unfortunately, many people fall into that rut and that realm. Hey, I'm close with him. Hey, I'll divulge everything. But they're not sharing the same perspective as you are. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends, but its end is the way of death. There's a lot of times where we think it's right, where we seem like it's feeling good, like it makes some logic, but we don't really lean in and say, hey, what are godly people saying about this? What are godly people really pouring into this? Look, I like this statement that I discovered, and a pastor said this, if you are around the wrong people, listening to the wrong voices, living for the wrong values, what seems right will often be wrong. So who are you surrounding yourselves with? Who are you surrounding yourselves with? In Acts 15:22, look how they break it down. They're going over this doctrinal practice. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church. Three different layers. You have the inner group, godly people. This is the wise. It's the wise group. It's the proximity group. Then you go to the leaders of the church, the elders. The group slightly gets bigger. And then the whole church, the large at whole, start and agree and understand with it. So in Acts 15:25, it seemed good to us, having come of one accord. Three different layers when it came to godly people pouring into this decision. I would encourage you, what are the closest layers that you have? How are they pouring into decisions that you're making? Who is in proximity? Who's close with you? Who is a wise leader? When it says they leaned into the apostles, when they asked the apostles, they were in agreement. These were people devout in their faith, followed Jesus for many years, understood the gospel. You need to have some of those people in your life. The elders, they're people that show maturity. Maybe they're not the longest tenure, but they have experience. They're living wise lives. And in the whole church, this is just simply the decisions you make, believe it or not, should sound pretty practical to everybody listening. And I think you ever scratch your head and be like, man, that was a terrible decision that person made. Like you ever kind of go that direction? I would say right here, when those three layers are moving in the direction of the right decision-making, are in prayer, it's sounding practical, others are pouring into it, then there's this way of unity that takes place. Any decision you're making, I would pray that you are seeking unity. Personal decisions that I've made, I had to learn the hard way. One, did it involve my wife? I got in some trouble. Anybody ever make a decision without your spouse pouring into that? It can get you into some trouble. I didn't seek wise counsel. And looking back, I'll be frank with you, some of the worst decisions I made are decisions I made by myself without the person in proximity to me. See, isolated decisions often lead to death and lead to this manner of, well, it seems right. It's this emphasis on feelings. Bad decisions killed my bank account. Bad decisions were wrong actions. Bad decisions led to some very bad regret. See, decisions with other faith-filled, devil-kicking, mountain-moving disciples of Jesus, searching God's word, seeking his heart, listening to his voice, peace comes and transcends all understanding. When you have people in your life that are pursuing God, pouring into your decisions of life, it makes decisions a lot easier. My wife and I, several times, I've learned the hard way when it comes to decision-making. This one particular time, we wanted to buy new cabinets for our kitchen. First house, first time that we were kind of redoing something. And there's one time I wanted to buy new cabinets. She's like, Blake, I just don't have a piece about it. And then the next time, about a couple months later, hey, maybe we should buy these new cabinets that we've been saving up for. Finally there, finally felt we were all right. And I said, no, I don't think we have a piece about it. I just didn't have. Little did we know, about a month later, our house would be robbed. We would lose our jobs. We would take that savings that we saved up to buy new cabinets and live off until God provided the next step and opportunity. That was because there is unity made in that. Godly people speaking into decisions that we're making as a couple. I would encourage you, adopt that. Secondly, how to have peace of mind when you're making decisions is seek the Holy Spirit's leading. Seek the Holy Spirit's leading. This sounds simple. It sounds maybe a little complex for you, like there's a lot about the Holy Spirit. But look in Acts 15:28, look what happens. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So maybe you're sitting there like, man, there's a lot about the Holy Spirit. I don't know about the Holy Spirit. How do I really discern the Holy Spirit in life? Here, I like to say this. Don't complicate it. Do not complicate it. We do a terrible job of overcomplicating things that shouldn't be overcomplicated. Let's look at it this. Filter first, when it comes to seeking the Holy Spirit, filter decisions biblically. Filter decisions biblically. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God. Holy Spirit, known as the breath of God. Genesis 2:7. Breath of life. John 20:22. And is profitable for teaching us in decision making, for reproof in decision making, for correction in decision making, and for training in righteousness of our decision making, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Friends, you need to ask yourselves, is the decision I'm making in tune with the Holy Spirit lining up biblically? Let me just give you some examples. Let me just be matter of fact. Let's just be blatant and as real as we can be. First, when it comes to making decisions, let's go to a popular topic. We get this one a lot from a pastoral counseling and staff. Hey, should I move in with my boyfriend? You know, should I try it before I buy it kind of atmosphere? Like that's what people say. This is what scripture says. And so this is what the Holy Spirit says. Let the marriage be held in honor and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. You know, they say there's a study that I was reading about 97% of people that are living together before they're married, they're doing you know what's together before they're married. Scripture speaks into that. I would encourage you, maybe you're in this place. Hey, we're truth talking church. You need to evaluate that relationship. Biblically speaking, how's that line up? I see this a lot, Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Should I talk to that person about how they wronged me, how they hurt me, how they frustrated me, how they sinned against me? According to Matthew 18:15, yes. Saying I'm too scared, saying I'm too timid, saying they won't hear me, they won't listen to me, isn't biblically, friends. It isn't accurate in the gospel. Should I go to church? Well, let me tell you this. Going to church is what Christians do, my friends. Church shouldn't necessarily be optional for us. It should be like, I should look for it. I should have the inspiration for church, celebration for church. Look what that writer of Hebrews puts it when it comes to church. In 10 verse 25, not neglecting to meet together. And yet so many times we're like, do I really want to go to church today? I feel like going to church today. I don't really like it. Friends, what's the Holy Spirit saying through God's word? Should I put my parents in a home or should I take care of them? I know some adults, they wrestle with this one. And I'm not saying I have the exact answer, but I am saying in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So it makes you really lean in. How are you taking care of those around you? My friends, the Holy Spirit leads us, teaches us first through God's word. And then secondly, when it comes to seeking the Holy Spirit, it affirms the decision in prayer. Affirm the decision in prayer. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, oftentimes we look at this, but I just want to focus on this first part of the verse. In verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. I asked you earlier at the beginning, front end of our message, how many of us have battled making decisions where it's been a weight on you, where it's been a problem, where it's been something challenging to navigate? My friends, when you're leaning in, when you're saying, God, I'm coming to you in prayer, Holy Spirit, right now, I don't know what to say. I'm crippled. I'm paralyzed. This decision is at hand. Oftentimes, we just say, hey, we look at this verse in Romans, and we say, that just talks to me when I'm praying. I should just sit there and just wait. But it actually goes through everything, every thread of our weaknesses. You're struggling to make a decision. You don't know what to do. You say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. I'm going to just let you lead me. I'm going to sit. I'm going to wait for your presence. And I'm just going to call on who you are. I'm going to trust your guidance, your comfort, your peace that you give me. We affirm decisions through prayer. We don't complicate it. Look, often if God is silent about it and the Bible doesn't write about it, I coach people all the time to this. Don't stress about it. Because this is what God's doing. He's saying, hey, you can't really make a wrong decision in that realm. I'm with you if you choose that school. I'm with you if you choose this school. I'm with you if you decide to date and marry that Christian. I'm with you if you decide to date and marry that Christian. I'm with you if you're at this church. I'm with you if you decide to go to a different church. I'm with you all the time. He never leaves us, nor he will forsake us. But when we're seeking and we're calling out the Holy Spirit and God in our life, we're saying, God, what's your word saying? God, I'm going to pray about it. Routinely, I'm going to seek counsel. Routinely, I'm going to call in your name. So when Paul comes back and he says, hey, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 7, Paul wanted to make some decisions in life, but he didn't stress about it. He wasn't anxious about it because he let the right people speak into it, and he also continued to seek the Holy Spirit through it. Paul says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Paul, practice. I'm just going to turn to you, God. I'm just going to affirm it in prayer. I'm going to lead according to your word. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, I want to close praying over you, two groups of people. First group of people are those in this place. you're struggling to make a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord, leader, King in your life. You're struggling to give up your life and to follow Him. You're struggling to say, hey, I want to hold on to the past, but I want to move forward because I know God is calling me that way. And I'm praying right now you make a decision that you let go of all of that and you step forward and you make Jesus your Lord, leader of your life. We have a very practical way that we do that here at our church. Fill out a Connect card. It's in the handout. We also have it online. Mark, hey, I decided to follow Jesus. I committed my life to Jesus. Give us detail. We want to walk with you. Because look around. All these people are at that moment that you have been at. All these people have made the decision to give up their life to follow Jesus. It's not our own. It's His. We're children of Jesus. And then secondly, maybe you're in here right now and you came through these doors and you're stressed to the max, you're anxious, you're overwhelmed, you're feeling weight, you're feeling burdened, and you're like, I got to make some big choices coming up. I'm saying right now, who do you have pouring into that? Are you seeking the Holy Spirit? What's God's word? Google. Hey, what's God's word say about X, Y, and Z? Hey, what's my pastor say about this? Hey, what's my close friend who's a spiritual brother or sister in Christ? What are they saying about that? And then are you just coming to God on your knees and saying, God, I'm just praying and I'm praising and I'm calling on your name. Holy Spirit, in my weakness, I feel crippled. I feel paralyzed. I need you to speak into my life right now. Are you praying about it? A lot of options. But there's only really one path. His name's Jesus. A lot to distract us, but there's only one focus. His name is Jesus. Let's pray together today. God, right now, you see these individuals in this place. First, Lord, we pray over those individuals who are making a decision to follow you. We call on your name right now that you intervene, that you anoint, that you do your mighty work in their lives. They make a decision to call your Son King and Lord of Lords. Give them a boldness to let go and to embrace their new destiny, their new eternity, their new call. And God, we also pray for those in this place right now who are going through a storm, who are feeling like life is a little chaotic and they don't know what to do. They're struggling to make a decision. They feel paralyzed and they feel stuck. God, right now, may they take what we talked about today and apply it to their life, apply it in their marriages, apply it with their friends, apply it with their decisions that are to come in the future and the decisions that are beforehand. So God, you see this church. We're a church that praises you, that worships you, that calls you our mighty King. And we give you it all right now, Lord. Lead us and may your Holy Spirit lead us every step of the way. And in Jesus, your mighty name, we all say, amen.
Hey, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or would like to speak to someone concerning this message, we invite you to fill out our online communication card at faithnfm.com. And if you're able, we'd love to have you with us in person on Sundays at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. or on the best night of the week for Wednesday prayer at 7 p.m. We're at 7101 Bayshore Road in North Fort Myers, just 2 miles west of I-75 at exit 143. Thanks again for listening.